Hi, listeners. You can now listen to this community podcast production ad-free on Apple Podcasts and access the podcast 1 week early and get exclusive bonus content. Just hit the subscribe button now on Apple Podcasts. Or if you want access to all of the above, plus video versions of the podcast, head to patreon.com/stopthekilling.
Stop the Killing is proud to be supported by our sponsor, Easy PA. Easy PA is an integrations-capable communication software that connects older building systems, such as signage and public address systems, to modern software technologies, such as panic alarms and mass communication systems. Go to easypa.com, that's E-Z-Y-P-A.com, to learn how to integrate your systems today.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
On the morning of August 1st, 1966, shots ring out from the observation deck of the clock tower on the University of Texas campus. It marks the infamous beginning of the modern era of mass shootings in America.
I'm Sarah Ferris, true crime podcaster.
And I'm Catherine Schweit, the former head of the FBI's active shooter program.
And you're listening to Stop the Killing.
Sarah.
Hi.
Glad to find you online.
I love that. That might be our most all-time best entrance into a podcast yet.
I wanted to tell you something. It's so extraordinary. You know, what dragged me into this world of mass shootings was the Sandy Hook killings and yes. How horrible they were. And at 20 children, 6 women killed at an elementary school in Connecticut in the States. And it was so long ago, in 2012, December of 2012. So, you know, every year we roll across this anniversary. Well, when bad shootings occur, people not only they look for justice in the form of justice against the individual who perpetrated a crime, but they look for justice in other ways. And we have an extraordinary situation that occurred here regarding the Sandy Hook parents. We've talked a little bit once in a while about parents who sue the school system for failing to keep their children safe. The Remington manufacturers of weapons agreed to a settlement in one case. So we have an individual. I apologize if it offends you for me talking about this person, but this person's name is Alex Jones.
We've also done a bonus episode on this case earlier on the settlement. So I'll put that in the show notes so you've got that background because you're going to be giving us a bit of an update as well. So
exactly. So Alex Jones was sued by several families who had several people die at the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting. And those families won a $1.5 billion judgment against him.
I mean, that's insane. But remind us why they were suing him. What was his role?
I mean, he was very busy making money on his, you know, radio/television/YouTube kind of program called InfoWars, although he's morphed into something else since. His whole objective in life is to amass money.
Yeah.
But the way that he has done that is to live on people who buy into conspiracy theories.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just the Sandy Hook conspiracy theories. It's tons of other stuff. And this guy, and again, apologies to those of you who might be still following him, but please stop. This guy is duping you in ways that are astonishing, that are now very public, because when this $1.5 billion judgment was filed against him by the courts, he had to put his world somewhat into bankruptcy. And he tried to protect himself from paying out by filing for bankruptcy. And under the law, you can't protect yourself by doing that. It's not a mechanism, but it does require a long process to figure out who gets what money. So let me tell you some details, mostly because I know you're going to be like, what?
So remind us again of the figure that he was originally told he had to pay to the Sandy Hook parents.
$1.5 billion. Like $1.5 billion.
With a B.
Right. 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 Billion. $1.5 billion. And the reason was two factors. One is, how egregious was his conduct? Right. He's on the open airwaves espousing these astonishing lies. $1.5 billion is based in part on the egregious length of time that this offense was committed, you know, the blatantness of it, but also the amount of money he has made from these lies. So the lies, what are the lies? Well, his basic premise that he has pushed out there over and over and over and over again that people believe is that the Sandy Hook killing never happened. And that the people who we saw in videos were crisis actors.
Yeah. And the impact of that on the Sandy Hook parents is that people were actually being like harassed by this, his army of like haters.
He was giving out specific names, showing their pictures, providing their addresses.
Yeah.
People were going dangerous. Find, right. Yes, everywhere, right? All over the internet, on his shows. His followers were going to find these actors, these crisis actors. You know how conspiracy theorists work? You know, it's like Bigfoot. He'd have a still photograph taken, and then somebody'd make some alterations in it.
Yeah.
Or they'd match it up to something else. And then they'd post these pictures side by side and say, see here. And they'd like have a kid who was murdered. And then they'd see another picture of a kid who looked similar that was blurry. And they'd say, this is proof that this was a crisis actor. And this wasn't this child, this 5-year-old, this 6-year-old child who died. So the parents are seeing this over and over again. And the community is seeing it over and over again. And people are not just seeing something randomly. They are stalking these families.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 100%. Like they are being impacted daily.
And they're asking him to cease and desist over a long period of time. Sandy Hook happened in 2012, right? This is a decade later. And we're still having this conversation about did it happen or didn't it happen? And why are we having that? Because of horrible people like Alex Jones who prey on those who don't know and so are looking for answers. And his entire persona is this conspiracy theorist, anti-establishment, anti-whatever, right? And he convinces people in the process. So I'm going to give you some dollars. Whether they're pounds, like you guys talk about, there are dollars. Mm-hmm. I can tell you in dollars, you'll see the numbers. So he's got a $1.5 million judgment against him, right? And he says that he can't afford that. So the challenge is that his case has gone into personal bankruptcy. He continues to host his shows, and he continued all the way through this, hosting his shows, talking about these conspiracy theories. So he testifies in this defamation trial about all of his situations, you know, in the bankruptcy court. They're busy trying to figure out, well, what is his? What is the businesses? What can he protect? They're trying to resolve this bankruptcy. So the family says, okay, look, $1.5 billion. You know what? We'll just take $85
million. Well, who says that? The families of Sandy Hook say that.
The families of Sandy Hook say, we'll take $85 million and walk away from the bankruptcy. Just give us that much, right?
Yeah.
And we'll walk away. So that's where they are right now. They're saying, if we can settle for a minimum of $85 million, these are families that for more than a decade have been trying to just live with the fact that their children aren't there anymore, which in the next few years will be the time when their children would have been graduating from high school.
Yeah,
right?
So sad.
I mean, just so sad.
You can't.
So horrific.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And you can't. Right. And in the court, these attorneys for Sandy Hook say, this guy is not curbing his personal expenses and expenditures. He continues to live this extravagant lifestyle that is not preserving the value of the money that needs to be distributed for his assets.
So he's just running it down.
Oh, yeah, right. What does that mean, right? What does that mean? So the lawyers for Sandy Hook say, this guy has had a year to try to work this out. And instead, all he's doing is spending as much money as he can.
Am I right in remembering that he didn't even turn up to court when it was going through court. And then did he, am I dreaming this, at some stage say he was never going to pay it anyway after it happened?
Absolutely. I'm not paying that. Right. He's telling all his followers, I'm not paying that. He didn't show up to court. He gets this judgment. Right. Exactly.
So does the bankruptcy help then? If he hadn't been going through bankruptcy and just had kind of shut down and said, look, you're just not getting $1.5 billion, walk away kind of thing, they would have been fighting. But because he's gone into bankruptcy, does that mean that they've actually got a shot of getting that money then? They'll get something.
Well, the thing about him saying, well, I'm just not going to pay it is, I mean, under the law, it doesn't work that way. You can't continue to operate a business. You can't get licensing. Well, if you're not following a court's ruling, then you're in contempt of court. And a contempt of court finding, a judge can order you to jail. So
right. Okay. So it's got some teeth to it.
Yeah. You can't just like say, well, I'm just not going to abide by the courts of the United States. You can't operate in the United States. Eventually, it kind of catches up to you. And so, I mean, that's kind of what happens. Al Capone, he went to jail on tax charges. So this guy, you know, his whole business dealings, remember, if you have billions of dollars, your money is wrapped up in banks that have to comply with court regulations, that have to comply with banking regulations. So they can put a freeze on his assets and stuff. So you can't just say, I have my pile of money, you know, Professor McDuck, and I'm just going to sit on my bed with it. It doesn't work that way.
So they're coming for him. They're coming for the money.
Right. You know, they file for bankruptcy, right? And so he's been working on that, but it's been working on it for a year. So the families say, look, you can either liquidate your estate and give the proceeds to the creditors, or you can just pay us $8.5 million for the next 10 years. Now, I wouldn't be confident enough to do that. And then plus, we want like interest on income that you're making for the future, because you're continuing to make money on us, right? So it was a very contentious and complicated court hearing. And of course, the bankruptcy attorneys on his side are saying, oh, that's way too much money. You couldn't possibly do that. That's unrealistic for him to pay that. All right. So now let's look at what he does with his money. In the bankruptcy filing that was filed, Free Speech Systems, his company, says that it could afford to pay creditors $4 million a year. Although before they said they can pay $7 or $10 million, but now they can only pay $4. So they're like going backwards.
Yeah.
They only pay $4 million. It said it expected to make, are you holding on to your chair?
Mm-hmm.
The company expected to make this is their company admitting, they expect to make $19.2 million next year selling dietary supplements on his website and through him.
Wow.
Clothing and other merchandise. Dietary supplements.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that sounds dodge.
Right. So who's out there buying these as we would say FDA, the Federal Food and Drug Administration, non-FDA approved dietary supplements, some scan of, you know, sawdust or something.
Exactly. Right?
Again, another thing I'll be sued for. But
I was going to say, you're going to get yourself sued left, right and center, but we'll love the publicity on the podcast. So come for us.
That's a good point. All right. That's a good point.
And now a word from our sponsor.
EasyPA is an integration-capable communication software that connects older building systems, such as signage and public address systems, to modern software technologies, such as panic alarms and mass notification systems. Additional features include built-in automated bell schedules, remote access, text-to-natural voice announcements, and custom audio playlists. EasyPA is one of the only full-service public address and communications companies that has in-depth knowledge on both the hardware and software aspects of communication and evacuation-based products. As a solution-based company, they offer design, supply, installation, and maintenance of all their products. And for use in schools, EasyPA software provides multi-zone capabilities, pre-scheduled daily announcements and bells, and a remote alert button that can be accessed from anywhere in the school. Once a panic alarm is triggered, law enforcement is notified immediately. EasyPA makes schools safer from any threat. Go to EasyPA.com. That's EasyPA.com to learn how to integrate your systems today. If you want to be a reseller or integrations partner, visit EasyPA.com to learn more. That's EasyPA.com.
Have you ever felt that pang of disappointment when you couldn't add a ticket to your collection because it was digital? Or maybe you just lost it? Well, StubForge.com is here to change that. Imagine this: tickets that not only look but feel like the real deal.
because each ticket from StubForge is printed on the same quality stock that Ticketmaster uses and printed with genuine ticket printers. It's like holding a piece of the concert, the game, or the show right in your hands. But StubForge isn't just about replacing tickets. With the easy-to-use interactive designer, you can create custom tickets for anything, from concerts to sports games, pregnancy announcements, or parties. Why not make your invitations stand out with tickets that are as unique as your event? And if you're trying to complete a back catalogue of missing tickets, StubForge offers bulk discounts to make it both easy and affordable. With StubForge, you can once more give your loved ones physical tickets and see their eyes light up instantly at the best gift you can give. So whether you're looking to reignite your ticket collection, craft the perfect gift, or send the coolest invites, head over to StubForge.com. Start creating today and see how StubForge makes every ticket a story worth saving. Visit StubForge.com and start making tickets today.
So the company admits that they think they're going to make nearly $20 million next year selling dietary supplements, clothing, and other merchandise that he promotes on his show. And expenses, operating expenses, including his salary, total $14.3 million. And that's why they can't afford to give money out.
What's his salary?
Okay, so
I have to know.
This is going to make me laugh. All right, you're going to blah, ha, 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 ha. You're going to laugh. Under the bankruptcy order right now, you know, he listed $13 million in assets. $13 million. This guy has billions that he's made, but he lists $13 million in assets, including $856,000 he has in bank accounts, which he has to account for because they're in banks. But under the court order, this guy is receiving. Now, I know this is probably similar to your salary, especially with this popular podcast, but he's receiving $20,000 every 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
So just over $500,000 a year in salary. That's what he's getting, his salary. But you know what? It's just enough. It's really tough to live on $500,000.
It is hard to live on that. I mean, so, good God, can we get a crowdfunding support system going for that guy?
So
give a little page.
Give a little, give a lot.
Give a shit page.
Court appointed attorney who's working on the bankruptcy restructuring, filed paperwork offering to pay him, change his salary every 2 weeks from $20,000 to $57,000.
What? More?
More, not less. More. Right. So he could earn $1.5 million a year.
Wow.
As part of his bankruptcy reorganization.
I mean, this does not sound like bankruptcy like I know it.
And the court lawyer said the reason they needed to do that is he is underpaid for how important he is to this media.
In his own mind.
To this media company. And you're like, yay, to the bankruptcy judge who said, F that. Only he did not say that on the record. He said, no. He said, no, we're not going to give you a $1.5 million salary. The pay raise didn't appear to have been made properly under bankruptcy laws, and a hearing needs to be held. Mm. And if he doesn't accept the family's offer, so it's just so disgusting, right? And this judgment against him, they already said he can't use bankruptcy. And now they're saying, okay, look, we'll take less. We'll take $8.5 million over 10 years. This guy is selling millions of dollars in, you know, supplements.
It's amazing that he can still keep going on. It's not going to stop him in his tracks. He's still going to keep earning.
Right, right. You know, I'm just going to say, you could apply this to so many cases right now in the United States. That's all I'm going to say about it. But his entire defense is free speech, free speech. And free speech, there is no whole defense of free speech. There certainly isn't in criminal cases. And the right to free speech is a constitutional right in the states, but it is not a holistic right. You do not have ultimate rights to say whatever you want, wherever you want, whenever you want, unless you are willing to pay the price for your free speech. If your free speech actually incites violence, I mean, he wasn't charged with criminally inciting violence against the Sandy Hook parents. He was charged in a civil action by these parents, which has a lower threshold of what you need to prove in court, preponderance of the evidence. But his free speech, if that was part of what caused their injury, you know, you can say whatever you want, but you're going to pay the price for it. And that's how you balance the right to free speech with everybody else's rights, right? The right to privacy and things like that. These were family members who have been for 10 years harassed about the saying that their child didn't even exist.
I mean, does not compute that. Mm-hmm. The trauma that he's put those people through.
Right.
And the payoff is greed for him. It just does not compute that somebody could do that to somebody. I mean, it's just mind-boggling.
Added part for me that is overwhelming is I kind of like am angry about, but more I feel sorry for all the people who have been duped into his rabbit hole. I think about people who are regular Americans, you know, working as grocery store clerks, as landscapers, working as accountants, and working as school teachers, and just, you know, regular people. And they come home from work and then they get lost on the internet watching this loser making up stuff with no requirement that he validate anything that he says. And he has gone down this whole long invested story about how these people are all crisis actors and no shooting ever happened up there. Nothing ever occurred. It's very sad that the people who are drop into conspiracy theories, there's a lot of like, I won't believe it unless I see it. But even seeing it in pictures and videos doesn't count now. It's like if they physically weren't there experiencing it.
I think that is something that is going to be even more telling in the next couple of years, I think, and more of an issue because we see this rise of AI and the level of deep fake that is available.
Yes,
it's going to be just such a mind.
I heard a lot of people in the last 5 or so years, especially saying, well, I researched it for myself and I know. And what they're researching, because we all have the internet available to them, we're researching anything. And you type in the word, you know, you type in the word Sandy Hook and you get everything, whether it's fact or fiction.
Right.
And whether it's a good movie that tells a fictitious story or whether it's the police reports that were done or whether it's Alex Jones and his conspiracy theories. And then people say, yeah, that seems possible. And people like Alex Jones and conspiracy theorist espousers, not the people consuming it, but the people who are pitching it, they're just good salesmen, right? They're just good salesmen.
I mean,
they spin a good yarn.
And there's a really great clue in that, the fact that he's not just spinning that yarn. He's also got himself a supplementary diet business and he's flogging off clothes. He's all about that.
Because he's just a salesman. He's not making his money on telling a story about Connecticut victims and how they didn't exist. He's making his money selling products, selling crap to people because they believe in him because he tells these tall tales.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the really sad part is that the people who are, you know, buying his products or sending him money, they're like charlatans, right? They're giving their hard-earned money. You work all day as a bookkeeper. And then you send what is essentially, you know, 5 hours worth of pay to this loser who turns around and leads his lifestyle that requires him to get a $1.5 million salary.
Yeah.
And then he gets on and talks about how, well, you know, it's all a conspiracy theory and law enforcement is this and that, or the people in that town just made it up. Like, why? Why? Because his job is to keep the story going. So ask him whatever you want. He'll keep the story going. And then in the meantime, at the end of the show, he'll sell you another bottle of supplements or a t-shirt.
Exactly. I mean, if there's ever an example of snake oil, John Sellers.
He is quite the snake oil. And you know what? He is still slithering away. He has yet to pay these families anything. And even the $1.5 billion that they're supposed to be paying. And he has earned billions of dollars. Billions of dollars. And even the money that he's supposed to pay these families who he aggrieved in such a horrible way, he's still getting away without paying that and then claiming, well, he continues to live on his paltry $20,000 every 2 weeks salary, plus all the other money is tucked away. It's that he doesn't, we can't possibly live on that. And meanwhile, the families have to continue to go to the cemetery and see the graves where their children are buried at the same time that they're dodging people who are coming to Connecticut to confront parents, you know, at the cemetery. Conspiracy theorists saying, oh, your child didn't die, while they're standing at the child's grave. That's disgusting. So we'll see more to come on this. But his latest volley is, well, I'm still not going to pay that, even though they've dropped their request from $1.5 billion to $85
million. What a rotten apple.
Thanks for listening. And if you want to know more, Catherine's book, Stop the Killing, is out now. For more details, go to catherineschweit.com. Please consider also supporting our independently made podcast. It's simple to do. Go to patreon.com/stopthekilling. And for as little as the price of a latte a month, you can be part of the solution to stop the killing. Patreon rewards range from official do-gooder status to ad-free episodes, autographed books, and opportunities to connect with us directly for your business, school, church, or even just a book club chat. But just knowing that you are part of a movement that has the power to make your community safer, well, that's got to taste better than a skinny cappuccino any day. So please head to patreon.com/stopthekilling now and polish off your do-gooder halo, and make sure to include your name so we can give you a shout out. This podcast is a Community podcast production. That's Con with an N. If you want more content, then head over to Community Podcast at Instagram, where you'll find trailers on more binge-worthy true crime, like the award-winning podcast Conning the Con. And check out our show notes for all the links mentioned. Finally, if you want one takeaway action that you can do right now that can help make our community safer, please share, rate, and review this podcast wherever you listen. Everybody needs to know that they hold the keys to see something and say something. Together, we can stop the killing.
It's one of those things you hope never happens, but you better train for it, because it will happen, and it will happen in places you wouldn't expect. Be ready for it.
Hi, this is Amy and Vanessa from She Goes By Jane, where we shine light on the stories of missing and unidentified women. On November 7th, we're sharing Nahida's story for the first time in a podcast. And this is a story that I thought I knew, but after reading police reports, became more complicated than I thought. When investigators are called to Nahida Khatib's house, everything looks fine. Her purse is on the kitchen table, her cup of coffee is on the counter, and her two-year-old niece is in her playpen. The only thing amiss? Nahida is missing.
Every week, we feature a poem written in honor of the person we're talking about. This week, we're joined by one of our favorite actresses. You might know her from Sister Act or King of the Hill or The Descendants. But if you're like us, you'll know her from Hocus Pocus. She's the much-beloved Kathy Najimy. Join us November 7th to hear Nahida's story.
Coming up on 5-Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5-Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.